I began thinking about our pastoral change, okay? And you're doing fantastic. And it's an important decision and one that is prayerfully being explored by our board and search committee. And you will hear from them very soon, not today, but very soon on an update. I want to say, though, if we're living the life that Jesus wants to live, getting our mind off of ourselves and on his kingdom, bringing life to others wherever we go, then a new pastor is an exciting thing, but a new pastor is not the answer for our lives. Can you say amen? Yeah, it's not. That's not the answer. Jesus is our answer, as you know, okay? We can just kind of think a little bit differently sometimes. So instead of thinking, if we just get a new pastor, then my life's going to be okay. It's more like, I can't wait for a new pastor because my life is changing already for the good. And our church is moving forward and bringing life. A new pastor is just going to continue to help us meet people's needs, see more people discipled, saved, and using their gifts for God's glory as the pastor helps to equip us, which is what pastors do, equip us, okay, even more than we are now, okay? So a new pastor is going to be a great thing. But hey, we're living life. Amen? All right. So if you feel like, wow, I'm not really at that place yet, I don't know that I'm really living life like I should, I got some good things for you today. And even if you feel like, well, I'm at a pretty good place, I think you'll be able to relate to a few things that I'm going to bring today. And I'm going to do a two-part series. It's called Over and Above. There it is. Isn't that pretty? Over and Above. And I'm going to give today, and then in 4 weeks, I'm going to give part two, because Pastor Todd's going to be back next week. But I'm excited about it. And so I'm going to be looking at Ephesians chapter 3, and because of time, I'm not going to read 14 through 19, but I'm going to read verse 20. It says this, "Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us." Let's pray. Lord, we just love you this morning. We ask that you would anoint your word. Lord God, help it to change our lives by the power of the Spirit of God. And Lord, that what we hear today, we can put into practice and into place in our lives because of you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Okay, so if I were to ask you, if life can be hard, what would you say? Yeah. Now, most of these questions are rhetorical, so you don't have to answer back, but that's all right. Life can be hard. I think we can all agree to that. Doesn't always have to be hard, but it can be, for sure. And I think we know that. So I'm just going to ask you a rhetorical question. You don't have to answer. What issues do you personally currently have? What problems have you recently encountered? Do you believe that God is able to do more than we can ask or think? According to the scripture we just read, do you think he knows what's best? Do you believe that God in the presence of the Holy Spirit resides in you? Now, if you have accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, asked him to come into your life, then yes, he does. He lives inside of you. If the answer to these last three questions that I asked is yes, then your future really holds incredible promise, no matter who you are. And it's not because of how hard you will try, even though trying is good. Trying is good. Sometimes trying gets a bad rap in the church. Oh, just don't try. Let God, you know, don't try. Well, we got to try a little, right? Trying is good, but that in the end, it's not going to be because of how hard you try. It's because we serve a God. He wants you to make it. And not only to make it, he wants you to thrive. And that's what I want to talk about today, thriving. I believe that most problems that we encounter are merely bumps in the road, or they should be. And I'm going to give a few examples of, these are just some things I came up with, things that we encounter that can really derail us, and they're legitimate issues, okay? But I want to talk about that just a little bit. So maybe you need a raise in pay. That's an issue. Maybe your coworker is a real trial. That's one way to put it. My boss just doesn't appreciate me. My kids don't behave the way they should. My grandkids don't behave the way they should. Not mine, mind you. Mine are perfect, as I'm sure yours are too. Don't you love being a grandparent? It's just so easy. I mean, it's so easy in a way. Hey, they act up, you can kind of laugh. Eh, it's funny. Off they go. Okay. Maybe you're late on a bill. Maybe your car's broken down. This was, used to bug me so bad. My car's broken down and I don't know how to get the money. I don't have enough money to pay for it. I have some pain in my body and I don't know what it is. I have some pain in my body and I know what it is. Plumbing in my house is backing up and I may need a plumber to fix it. These are just one of a myriad of issues, troubles that we can encounter in this life. So let me ask you another question. Have you ever seen a sinkhole where a car has driven into it and heads down into it? And I think we have a nice picture of one. Yes, isn't that a good day? Hopefully everybody was okay. Very scary. But for many of us, a lot of our everyday real problems become sinkholes. Okay? But most of them don't need to be. Most of them, not all, and I'm still not saying a sinkhole, but there obviously there are issues in life that are pretty tough. But most of our problems don't need to be a sinkhole. And the aforementioned items can all be legitimate concerns, but most of the time, if we think the way God wants us to think, and we know who God really is down deep, these problems are not sinkholes, but bumps in the road, just like that. Now, bumps in the road. Let me say something about that. Where there's one speed bump, there's more. I very rarely encounter a single speed bump. So know this, and I think this helps us. If most of our problems are speed bumps, know that there are more speed bumps. You're encountering one, you will encounter more. I've lived long enough to know this. And sometimes the speed bumps come really close together. I had that happen to me this week. And this is just the way it goes sometimes, you know. I was kind of tired one morning and I was doing all right, but you know, I was just tired, kind of in my spirit. And two very serious things come up. And they were serious things, but I had the challenge of, is this going to be a sinkhole or are these going to be speed bumps for me? So that they're concerns for sure, but are they going to derail me and set me into a hole, okay? So I had that very problem this week. So I wrote a song many years ago that I've used for different musical events here at this church and for other churches, and it's called Merry-Go-Round. It's one of my personal favorites just because as a songwriter, when you write things, sometimes it just clicks. And when you're done, I'm not saying it goes fast or whatever, not necessarily saying that, but when I'm done with a certain song, I get done and I'm like, I said exactly what I wanted to say. And I wrote the music to support what I wanted to say. And this is a song that I felt that way when I was done. And I'm just going to read these lyrics. And these lyrics are from the standpoint of the seeker. So this is a person who's not a believer, but they are thinking about life and the answers. Verse 1 says, truth is so hard to find. Truth, the search makes me feel so blind. And real love, when found, seems to come from deep within. So if God is love, you say, the truth must be in him. Faith, the message troubles me. What I can't see. But real love, I can't escape the truth it brings. So show me love, and faith will burn itself in me. Then maybe I can slide off this merry-go-round of life. Seems I'm riding up and down, merry-go-around, merry-go-around. Can Jesus lead me from this merry-go-round of life? And one more verse. Hope, I've seen such darkened days. Hope, it always seems to be a passing phase. But real love can even penetrate my sin. So if God is love, you say, hope must be in him. And the chorus, one more time. Maybe I can slide off this merry-go-round of life. Seems I'm riding up and down, merry-go-around. Can Jesus lead me from this merry-go-round of life? Now, unfortunately, many of our Christian lives are no different than those who don't know him. So these same struggles that the unsaved, the person who has not encountered Christ, our lives resemble the same thing, unfortunately. Now, because we're not getting off this merry-go-round, or what I'm calling today's message is the carousel of crisis, where you go up and down, like on those horses, you know, and around and around, which can make you sick. So let's get off this thing. Let's get off this thing. Okay? And we're going to start to walk with Jesus. Because walking with Jesus is about overcoming, and it's about peace. It's about serving others. It's about thinking right thoughts. Okay? Just to realize that what Jesus said was true in John 16:33, he says, I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble. Everybody say trouble. But take heart, I have overcome the world. You know those speed bumps? Jesus said we're going to have them. We're going to have trouble. So why are we able to overcome trouble? So we have to know this first. I'm going to give you several things here in a moment. But it's because of Jesus and his sacrifice. That's the only way. Something that happened 2,000 years ago, as you know, where Jesus gave his life so that we could live. And not just live forever, but live now. Live now, despite all the things that we encounter. Okay? All right. Verse 20, we're going back again to Ephesians 3:20. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. So exceeding, abundant, above, according to the power that works within us. Everybody say exceeding. Abundant. Above. All right. Is this how you want to live? Is this how you want to live? Do you really? I'm going to ask you that so that you can honestly ask yourself that. Do I really want to do this? Because if you decide, yes, I'm going to do this, this is going to mean change for you. I'm going to talk about that in 4 weeks. But this is something that if you want to live exceeding, abundant, above, it means change for you. And some people don't want to change. And they are used to the crisis and going round and round and up and down. And they don't jump off because jumping off means change. Okay? So Jesus wants you to live. So I'm going to give you 4 things quickly. Number one actually is 3 things. It's because you hear them all the time. So I thought, well, let's just get this over with. because it's all true, but you got to have all three or you're not going to be healthy as a believer in Jesus Christ. That is to pray, read the Bible, pursue Christian fellowship. Those three things. You have to have those things sincerely, humbly, and honestly, okay? John 15:7 says, if you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. We have two things here. We have prayer and we have the word. So Jesus says, if you have my words, which is the word of God, as Jesus was and is God, you have his words in us, then we ask whatever we wish and it will be done. So then we're praying and we're requesting. Okay? And then 1 Thessalonians 5:11, therefore encourage one another and build each other up, just as in fact you are doing. So fellowship. One of the biggest things I want to talk about today is not, when we think of fellowship, don't think of you. Don't think of what it's going to do for you. If you have true Christian fellowship, you'll receive. But not because, oh, I'm going into this thinking, I'm getting. You're going to go into this thinking, I am blessing. I'm going to go out and help someone else. I'm going to look, and instead of depending on everybody else to come to you, and I don't care if you, and I'm going to speak strong today. I don't care if you're an introvert or an extrovert. And I think most of us are introverts because I am an introvert. I am an introvert, but I've just learned certain skills to help me out. And so can you. And if you're just depending on somebody else to come and greet you, somebody else to come and talk to you, I know it can be really hard for some of you, but we all have the responsibility to get up and talk to somebody else. And I know it's hard for some people, and it may take you a little while to get good at it. Maybe another time I'll talk about some tools for you to really help you to talk to other people. Just don't have the time today. So pray, read the Bible, pursue Christian fellowship. Number two, lift up your eyes and look around you. And you might think, well, what's that going to do? Well, a lot of us look inside. We're looking inside. Even when we show up at church, we're looking inside. We're looking inside ourselves. Oh, what can I get out of this church service today? What can I get out of the message? What can I get out of worship? You know, it's wrong thinking. It's wrong thinking. It's good to receive. There are times to receive. But we got to lift up our eyes and look around us. Philippians 2:4 says, each of you should be concerned not only about your own interests, but about the interests of others as well. The interests of others. So if you want to get off the merry-go-round of crisis, you have to look up and see the needs of other people. And that looks all kinds of ways. But you have to at least look up and say, I'm not about me as I come in here today. And I'm not saying there aren't days when you need a good word. There aren't days when you need to worship. I get it. But most of the time, it's that attitude of, I'm going to lift up my eyes, and I'm going to look around, and I'm going to see, is there somebody I can pray for and just encourage, say a nice word to somebody, say hello, something nice, something good. And it goes far beyond that. All right, number three, speak life. Speak life. It's one of my favorite ones. Proverbs 18:21 says, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruits. So speaking life to other people can do a lot of things. You can bring encouragement to other people. You can bring healing to other people, restoration, believe it or not, to other people, hope to others. The tongue can be so full of life. If you want to get off the carousel of crisis, decide that you're going to speak life to others and not the negative things every single day, because we all got them. We all got them. I could give you a list. I really could. I'm not going to, because I'm not living that way. I'm not ignoring. I know they're there, and I'll take care of them when I need to. But And I'm not saying I never fail at this, but most of the time I want to speak life to people. I want to speak good things because it helps. It helps. I was just playing golf a couple days ago, and one guy says to me, he says, "You're a good putter. You can make this putt." And I went, "Oh, thank you." I went up there, and I missed. But I was encouraged. Speak life. All right, number four, as we zip through this, last one. Use your brain. Use your brain. And you're thinking, what? Use your brain? What do you mean use your brain? That's not spiritual. I thought it was all spiritual. This is spiritual. Using your brain is spiritual. We don't often hear this. We most often hear, you got to have faith. Oh, you got to be in the Word, which you do. Both of those things. Oh, you got to pray. Got to believe. All those things are good. But God is good, and He made you, and He gave you a brain. And He gave you a brain to think. Okay? Gave you a brain to think. And that's good. You think it's not spiritual? Really? Here we go. Proverbs 14, 15. The simple believe anything. And I hope you're not believing everything that you encounter today, because there's a ton of lies out there. Please do not believe everything you read or hear. But the prudent give thought to their steps. You mean you're supposed to think before you do something? Yes. You're supposed to think before you act. You're supposed to think before you talk. Thinking is good. And God gave you a brain to think. Romans 12, 2 says this. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. So how are our minds transformed? It's by God's Spirit comes to reside within us. We talked about that. And it goes in your heart and in your brain. You begin to think differently right away. Right away. I know it happened to me. Once you've prayed about a situation, you know, we still need to pray. You know, situations come up, we pray. We get into the Word of God, and God's going to help you. And sometimes God will even kind of download into your brain an idea after you've prayed and been in the Word. Have you ever had that happen to you? Where all of a sudden, the situation, something comes into your brain, and you're like, oh, that's an answer. Let me do that. So all the stressing, and I'm going to tell you, for most of you, don't do it in the middle of the night. Because if you're like me and you wake up and you start thinking about stuff, I don't know why, but at night it just becomes huge. And you're just stressing and you're like, oh, what am I going to do? What am I going to do about this? Don't do it then. Don't use your thinking then, because you're all stressed out. You know, usually in the morning, all of a sudden everything kind of lines up. And you'd be amazed, and I'm sure you are amazed in the morning, how what was so important to you in the middle of the night isn't quite as big a deal in the morning. And so we need to just stop, breathe, pray, read the Word. Remember a scripture that helps you, you know, through these things. And, you know, often I'll use Philippians 4, 6, and 7, a very popular scripture, be anxious for nothing. But in everything, by prayer, supplication, with thanksgiving, these are all really good things that are about attitude. Let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. I've said that so many times in my life, and it does help, you know. Just little scriptures like that. If you don't have it memorized, that's all right. Just open up the Word of God. So if you use your brain, after you've prayed, read the Word, you're going to oftentimes come up with God's will and a plan for your situation. So use your brain. It's okay. And you'll jump off the carousel of crisis. Now, that's four things. Pray, read the Bible, pursue Christian fellowship. It's really seven things. But lift up your eyes, look around you, so that you're not always thinking about yourself. Oh, I didn't write this down, but if you're a person that always talks about yourself to somebody else, try it. Try something else. Try talking about them. Even though you might have a lot of problems, try talking about them. You're going to like it, and they're going to like it. Just telling you. If you're talking a whole lot to somebody all about yourself, and you notice people kind of checking out on you, it's just a simple thing, guys. Just stop and go, how are you doing? How's your job going? How are your kids? Just simple questions. Simple questions. And then if they begin to answer you, ask a question off of what they just said. If they say, oh, my kids are doing pretty good. Oh, really? Well, how is that? Whoa, you've just entered level 2, which is really good. Okay? All right. 2, lift up your eyes, look around you. 3, speak life. 4, use your brain. If I can get the worship team to come up, that'd be fantastic. So if we can live in such a way that we're able to pray, believe, think, using our minds that God has given us, and look up and look around us to the needs of others, we can be overcomers and we can jump off that carousel. And for some of you, you're like, that's a very real thing for me. That's a very real thing. I want to jump off, but I don't know how. If you do these 4 things that I just talked about, now there's other things in life, and I don't have hours and hours to tell you about them all, but I can tell you, if you do these 4 things, a lot of questions will be answered for you. You'll live more of a peaceful life. You'll be able to help other people. Guys, we don't live long, right? We're not here very long. Why don't you make a difference? To make a difference, just decide a few of these things. You have to kind of decide to do it. That's the trying. I got to decide, I'm going to change. And I'm not going to depend on everybody else to help me or to in where I'm at. I'm going to help somebody else. And if you, okay, it's not about money. Sometimes you might want to give some money to somebody. That's part of it. But if you don't have money, that's okay. A kind word will do it. Kind word will do it. There's so many ways that we can help other people. In just a minute, we're going to sing a brand new song. And this has been on my mind for a while, this over and above mentality. And so me, Val, and Tammy wrote a song called Over and Above. And we're going to sing it here in a minute. Hopefully it's not a one and done. I really like it. It was one of those songs that actually, when I got all done, I think we just came up with something good. So that's a good thing. Well, I'd like you just to bow your heads for a moment. And I just want to ask you, if you're a person and you feel like, sometimes I feel like I'm going round and round and my life is in a bit of crisis a lot, too much. And maybe you feel like, I don't know really how to get out of this. Seems like troubles just keep piling up. But you want to get off of that carousel. If that's you, I just want you to raise your hand where you are. Just raise your hand. You feel like that's where you're at. Yeah, lots of you raising your hands. Keep raising your hands. I'll wait just a few more moments. It's something you got to think about a little bit. Okay? Mm-hmm. Now, I need to tell you, those of you who did not raise your hand, I can tell you right now that it's a challenge for every single one of you, but many of you do pretty well at it, and that's good. But everybody has this challenge. So you can put your hands down if you raised your hand. And I want to pray with you. And here's what I'm going to pray. I'm going to pray that you make some decisions and say, I'm not going to live this way anymore. I want to make a difference in other people's lives so that my life counts and makes a difference, okay? All right? And there's a lot of excuses out there, and I'm not saying that they're not real, but you can do this. You can do this. So let's pray. Lord, we just give you thanks and praise that you're good and that you created us to do good things. You created us to know you intimately. You created us to help others. You created us to get our minds off of ourselves and onto other people, because this life that you've given to us is all about people. Christianity is all about people. and blessing people. Just like we heard from these folks from River City, Lord, that they're doing this. They took a big risk to do this because they want to help people. They want to bring people to Jesus. And Lord, that's what we want to do. So Lord, for each person in this room, I want to pray, Lord God, that you will just settle something deep in their spirit that and in their mind as it's transformed to be like Christ and think like the mind of Christ, that they want to jump off that carousel and really live. And really live. And it can happen so fast. Lord, please do this, Lord, we ask. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen, amen.